Call to order the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Today is Monday, March 23rd, and we've got a pretty full agenda today. I know a lot of folks have driven a long way to be here, and so we'll try to move through the things early on our agenda fairly quickly to allow as much time as possible. And we welcome a couple of new members to our committee, Representative Whitsitt and Senator Whitsitt and Representative Hildreth Whitsitt. They'll be sitting on the dais with us today. They're not regular voting members of this particular committee, but the issues that we'll be talking about today are very important for their districts, and they've both requested to be here, and so we welcome their participation and being here with us today. So welcome to you both. So the first announcement I will make is that Senate Bill 478, which is listed for a possible work session, will be carried over to the next to Wednesday, and we'll be reposting it. So if you're here for Senate Bill 478, I assure you we will be taking no action on that today. We'll be carrying that work session over. We're going to move into our public hearings, and then when we get all the voting members of the committee here, we'll go back to work sessions on Senate Bill 20 and Senate Bill 248. But until then, because time is of the essence and the clock is running and we're only here until 5 o'clock and we will be done at 5 o'clock, we're going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 206 and open up concurrently a public hearing on Senate Bill 264. And while Beth explains briefly what those bills do, I'd like to invite up Richard Whitman, Roger Nicholson, Greg Addington, and Tom Paul to kick off these bills, tell us what they do, give us the background, and then we'll start going into a broader public testimony.
Mr. Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 206 would allow the temporary transfer or lease for in-stream use of a determined water rights in the Klamath Basin. Senate Bill 264 authorizes the Water Resources Director to participate in activities related to the joint management entity for carrying out the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement.
Gentlemen.
Good afternoon, members of the committee and Chair Edwards, Richard Whitman, Governor Brown's Natural Resources Advisor. I'm here with Tom Paul, the Deputy Director of the Oregon Water Resources Department. Roger Nicholson with the Fort Klamath Critical Habitat, and I forget the name of the other group, but Roger will tell you, and then Greg Addington with Klamath Water Users Association. We're here today to testify on two bills, Senate Bill 206 and Senate Bill 264, and specifically we're testifying to the Dash 2 amendments on Senate Bill 206 and the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 264. I'm going to give a brief overview of these two bills and then turn it over to the others to talk in a little bit more detail about them. As you all know, we are in yet another year of crisis in terms of drought in the state of Oregon. I have just handed out a map to you all, which is the map from today, actually, for the Natural Resources Conservation Service federal agency that looks at hydraulic conditions in the state of Oregon. And you'll note we've got the entire state of Oregon in red. You also note the single-digit numbers in the Hood, Sandy, Lower Deschutes, Willamette, Klamath, and Upper Deschutes basins. So that means that we are below 10% of the normal snowpack in all of those basins. This is putting extreme pressure on the irrigated agriculture community this year because snowpack is so low. It also will put pressure on many municipalities in the state of Oregon. Some parts of the state are better prepared than others, and we are working with local government and with districts to do the best we can to prepare. But with water conditions so bad, there is only so much that can be done. So for the Klamath Basin, as you all know, we have now almost 15 years of conflict in the Klamath Basin in the interaction between listed fisheries in the Klamath River and in Upper Klamath Lake in the Lost River and the irrigation community in the Klamath Basin. And there really are two irrigation communities in the Klamath Basin. There is the Klamath Project, and then there is the Upper Klamath Basin. And when Mr. Paul gets to his testimony, he will show you a map that clearly outlines those two areas. And so, as you've all read, we have been working hard for the last really 10 years to try to construct agreements to create a stable platform for irrigated agriculture in the Klamath Basin to continue and thrive in the Klamath Basin, and at the same time provide for restoration of fisheries in the Klamath Basin. The Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement and Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement, which were signed in 2010 by Governor Kulongoski, did the first piece of that work. And then last year in 2014, Governor Kitzhaber and the Secretary of Interior Sally Jewell and a whole bunch of ranchers from the Upper Basin, along with the Klamath tribes, signed the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement, which was the remaining piece of the puzzle to put the basin on a stable platform. We still do need federal legislation to fully implement these agreements, but I want to make it clear to you that the agreements are, to varying degrees, already in operation. Last year, even though we had extremely bad drought condition in the Upper Basin, large parts of the Upper Basin irrigation community were able to keep irrigating because of the KBRA and because of the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement. If those agreements had not been in place, the Upper Basin and the Klamath Project both would have been severely regulated off in terms of their water use. So why Senate Bill 206 and Senate Bill 264? Senate Bill 206 addresses the Klamath Reclamation Project. Senate Bill 264 addresses the Upper Klamath Basin off-project area. They do essentially exactly the same things for both areas with one addition for the Upper Basin. Senate Bill 264, the Upper Basin bill, has a piece in it which is not relevant to the Klamath Irrigation Project, and that is it authorizes the Oregon Water Resources Department to participate in something called the Joint Management Entity, which is the implementing entity for the Upper Basin Agreement. They need that authority to, over the long term, be able to work with irrigators through the entity that the irrigators have formed, with the Klamath tribes, and with federal agencies to fully implement the Upper Basin Agreement. Both Senate Bill 206 and Senate Bill 264, the other provisions in them contain authorizations for water management in both the Klamath Project and in the Upper Basin area of the Klamath Basin. The tools that they authorize, temporary transfers of water rights and in-stream leasing of water rights, are the same tools that are available for all other water right holders in the state of Oregon. They are not available to some of the water right holders in the Klamath Basin because existing Oregon law does not extend those tools to holders of claims in an water rights adjudication if that water rights adjudication has not been completed. And so what this bill would do is it would extend those tools to holders of determined claims in the adjudication. Those are claims that have been determined to be valid and have been quantified in the first phase of the adjudication. It would do so on a temporary basis, recognizing that once the adjudication is fully completed, then both the project and the Upper Basin will be on an equal footing with the rest of the state. So the short bottom line for these two bills is they put irrigators in the Upper Basin on the same footing as other water right holders in the rest of the state. Without those tools, irrigators in both the Klamath Irrigation Project and in the Upper Basin area will not have access to those programs. And those programs, particularly in this drought year, will provide a way to mitigate some of the impacts of drought by allowing for irrigators to be paid for not using water or for transferring their water to other places where it is needed more. So In short, what we're asking is for the legislature to approve those tools, the same tools that are available for everybody else. We have put provisions in the bill that have been requested by the Rogue Basin and by others to assure that we're not injuring existing water rights, and to assure that these tools are used in a way that's fully compliant with protections for existing water rights. So with that, I'm going to end. I know we're short on time, and turn it over, I think, first to Tom Paul to fill in the testimony on the bill.
Thank you. And we'll go through the entire panel, and then we'll open it up to committee members, and then for questions and answers, and then we'll proceed. Actually, then we'll probably go to our work sessions on our other bills, and then go back to public testimony. So go ahead, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt. Mr. Whitman did a great job of overview of what the proposal is and what the need is. Mention a map.
Could you give your name for the record?
Sorry. For the record, Tom Paul, Deputy Director, Oregon Water Resources Department. Apologize. there was talk about the off-project area, and also about the Upper Klamath Basin, and there are definitions in the bill that talk about those two locations. I believe a map has been distributed to you, and you will notice.
We do not have that map yet.
You don't have it? Okay. The map will be distributed to you. The upper portion of the map, you see a yellow color, and that is the off-project lands that are being talked about. And then the green area, which is more on the lower end, those green lands would be covered as the project location. As Mr. Whitman indicated, today we cannot entertain a water right application for either a temporary transfer or a lease. Those tools are needed by holders of the determined claims for management purposes, for example. They would not be able today to move the water right around to check or to follow a higher value crop. That's a tool that is exercised routinely around the state by other water right holders that have either gone through the adjudication or acquired water rights through the water right permit process. We did include language relating to the transfer, temporary transfer, and also the lease that we just repeated would do an injury test. There is also discussion in there that reflects current statute that talks about when you have two water rights on the same land, one of them is considered a primary or a first water right, and any subsequent water rights for the same land are considered supplemental. When you do a transfer, either a permanent transfer or a temporary transfer or an in-stream lease around the state today, those supplemental water rights cannot be exercised during the term of the transfer. So the lands where the water rights being transferred from must be dry. They can't receive water from another source. That was also requested by some of the parties concerned that if that language was not in, it could result in an enlargement or injury. with that, I'll go ahead and pass it on and be happy to respond to questions at the end.
Senator Edwards, Chair and committee members, and Senator Whitsitt and Representative Whitsitt, it's a pleasure to be here. My name is Roger Nicholson. I'm a directly represent the Fort Klamath Critical Habitat Landowners, which is a group with 50,000 acres of irrigated lands within Oregon and within the Klamath County Basin, as well as Resource Conservancy, which is a group that is an over-encompassing group of all of the other nonprofits that represent various components within the Upper Klamath Basin. Senate Bill 264 is very important to us. I think I'd like to regress a minute. 2 years ago, our water was completely turned off. it was turned off to irrigated farms and ranches like mine that have been in business since the 1890s. And it had all appearances that it could be a permanent shutoff because of the results of the adjudication. Several of us and several representatives in the Upper Basin forged ahead, and with the help of the Water Resource Department, Richard Whitman was tremendously helpful with the governor's office, and Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, we forged ahead and were able to come to a settlement agreement with the Klamath Tribe, and they were very, very good to work with. The Klamath Tribe has continually been good to work with, and we now have a settlement with them that is encompassed in the whole settlement package, which will allow the survival of a good component of the irrigated agriculture in the Klamath, Upper Klamath Basin. For those of you who don't know, it's a huge area for the cattle business of the western states, as well as in our interstate trade between California and Oregon and other western states. Klamath County itself rates in the top 50 of counties in total cow-calf as well as feeder cattle operations in the nation. That industry would have totally been destroyed without this settlement. We've been going through various components. Obviously, we're still waiting for federal legislation to make this a treaty-based water settlement, but there are several components, including this Senate Bill 264. I might add, one of those components was just done a week ago. We needed a well component that the Water Resource Commission passed on a rule process that allowed that to happen. But Senate Bill 264 is very necessary because part of our commitments with the settlement is a retirement of so many acre feet of water. We really didn't have a way to do it legally under Oregon state law because so much of it was non-adjudicated and is what is called an FFOD. And now, on a temporary basis, with injury provisions, we are allowed the ability, would be allowed the ability of this bill to turn around and to lease those waters in stream to fulfill our long-term retirement component that we have guaranteed to be would come into existence. In other words, we retire so much a year for several years, and until such time as the final court processes happen in Klamath County, those would not be finalized, and we couldn't redo that retirement component for probably, I would guess, 5 to 10 years, and it wouldn't fit the settlement. This is, I consider, more of a bookkeeping, and it's nothing to do with dam removal. It's nothing to do with other things you might hear. It's definitely a component of the Upper Basin Settlement Agreement with the parties having agreed to do that, that we're at the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee, Senator and Representative Whitsitt. It's good to be here. My name is Greg Addington. I'm the Executive Director for the Klamath Water Users Association. We represent primarily irrigation districts and other public entities in the Klamath Basin, as well as individuals who have contracts with the United States through the Bureau of Reclamation for water delivery. I'm here today, and I've communicated with the committee a little bit by email over the last week or so, and I'm glad to be here in support of these bills, and in particular our focus is on Senate Bill 206 with the Dash 2 amendments, which we support. I just think I won't add a lot to what other folks said. I think having the most flexibility and the most tools that you can have, particularly in years like we seem to be having lately in the Klamath, is very important. We want to have the same flexibility that other landowners in the state do with respect to managing water in some very difficult times. I also agree with what Roger said. I mean, this is, to me, quite simply, this is not about any bigger picture thing. Although these tools are needed long term, this is not about these bigger settlement agreements. This is about dealing with water management issues today in the Klamath Project. I think we have expressed our concerns with having a two-bill approach to this. I think that it made sense to us to do this in one piece of legislation. I'm concerned that the two-bill approach might lend itself to, one bill moves and one bill doesn't. And to me, that would be not fair. I mean, it wouldn't be right either way that would happen, to have one group of irrigators in the basin basically granted the rights and privileges and one group not or denied those privileges. So I'm concerned about that. That being said, we were unable to convince others of this concern, and we've resigned ourselves to this approach. And I'm happy to support both bills. The last thing I'll just touch on is, and in the testimony I submitted, we offered up the notion of an amendment that, to me, right now, this bill would sunset. The ability to do these transfers and leases would sunset in less than 5 years. We know the adjudication process, the circuit court process, is not going to be done in that amount of time. And so the need will come up again. To me, it makes sense to have a longer sunset date on these bills because the problem is going to be there again. So I would offer up that as consideration. We put some wording in the testimony we submitted, and I'm happy to answer any questions I can.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all for your testimony. Members of the committee, questions? Yeah, Senator Olson.
I guess this would be directed to you, Mr. Whitman. This is precedent setting. These waters, most of these waters haven't been adjudicated, have they?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, there is a partial adjudication that was completed earlier for the Klamath, a portion of the Klamath Basin. And to be clear, the adjudication that we've been referring to here is partially completed itself. It's done through the administrative phase. But there is a judicial review phase of that also, which is still underway.
Follow-up, please? Yep. And I won't be too long. The portion that has been adjudicated, is that prior to 1909? Is that the ones that have been adjudicated?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, all of the rights that are determined through the adjudication process are either pre-1909 water rights or they are federal water rights. What I'm referring to in terms of the prior adjudication is for a geographic subportion of the Klamath Basin where there was some prior adjudication done.
Oh, one last question.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that the rest of the basins, you want this to be to work like the rest of the basins, but the rest of the basins, my understanding is most of those waters are already adjudicated. We don't have the same problem that we have in this basin with the rest of the basins.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, the issue here is this is the only area of the state where we are partway through the adjudication process. So we have rights that have been provisionally determined, subject to court approval. That is why we're not asking for this authority permanently. We're only asking it for a temporary period. While we're in this period between the first phase of the adjudication and the second phase of the adjudication, all the other normal things that go with having a water right apply once that first phase of the adjudication is done, except for these provisions that we're here talking about today, the temporary transfer and the in-stream lease authorization. So again, this is putting the basin on an equal footing with the rest of the state.
Yeah. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you. Mr. Whitman, I have actually several short questions. Mr. Whitman, could adoption of the Dash 2 amendment to the Senate Bill 206 with the in-stream component create an in-stream water right, like with the 1905 priority date, in the Klamath River that would allow the Oregon Water Resources Department to regulate the Klamath Falls City Municipal Conger wells that are located next to the Link River in order to protect that in-stream flow?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, I'll start to answer that, and then I may hand it over to Tom Paul to get into the details. But, Senator, as I think you know, there was some concern about regulation of the City of Klamath Falls wells this past year in 2014 because those wells are in proximity to surface water that was being regulated in the Klamath Basin. And under Oregon law, if it can be shown that regulation of groundwater will provide timely and effective relief to a surface water right that's not being met, the groundwater can be regulated. There has been work done between the department and the City of Klamath Falls. Part of that relates to the fact that during drought times, there is a preference for human consumption, or there can be a preference for human consumption that would partially address this situation. part of it is also addressed by the rulemaking that Roger Nicholson referred to earlier in his testimony. But on the details of that, I'm going to ask Mr. Paul to respond.
Tom Paul. Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, this bill would allow lands to be leased in stream, but in order to do that, those lands would have to be dried up. I don't envision drying up enough lands within the Klamath project to prompt regulation in the area that you're talking about, because that would be below Link River Dam.
Yeah, to follow up, I mean, actually, it's just a yes or no question. If you established an in-stream, temporary in-stream transfer, so you created a temporary in-stream water right in the Klamath River, could the department regulate those conger wells in order to protect that in-stream flow?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, we would have to look at the quantity of water that is flowing in the Klamath River.
So it's yes or no. I mean, could you?
If you would have to dry up a very, very large number of acres within the Klamath project.
Follow-up question?
Yeah, follow-up.
Would establishing such a 1905 priority temporary in-stream water right also compel the department to regulate irrigation wells located within 1 mile of the Klamath River and its tributaries?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, we have existing rules in place that talk about regulation of groundwater to satisfy senior water rights, whether they be groundwater wells or whether it's surface water. One of the criteria there would be any regulation would have to provide a timely response to satisfy the senior water right making the call.
Just a comment and another question. Yes. Mr. Paul, the department regulated that one municipal well up by the hospital, up by Sky Lakes, that was 5,100 feet from the, roughly 5,100 feet from the Klamath Lake. Had it been 5,281 feet, you wouldn't have been able to regulate it. The next question, would the passage of either of these bills serves to statutorily establish authorization of either the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement or the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement by the State of Oregon?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, I'll take that one. The is Senator Whitsitt, as you know, both bills refer to each of the two agreements, the Upper Basin Comprehensive Agreement and the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, and to a geographic description that is provided in those agreements, but that in no way represents a ratification or a codification of those agreements. It's simply a fact as to what those geographic areas are at this point in time.
So we could say that's a no.
Yes.
Thank you. And one final further question, yep. Please. Will a temporary in-stream transfer of a surface water right under the provisions of this bill prohibit the landowner from using a supplemental groundwater well? And I think that's true. You said they would not be able to use a supplemental groundwater well. As I read the statute, if the department found a landowner in violation of that that law, you would be authorized to cancel the supplemental water right on the irrigation well. Is that correct?
Under the yep. Chair Edwards, Tom Paul again, under the statute as it relates to water right transfers, permanent water right transfers, it talks about a supplemental water right if it is not transferred together with the right being moved. Then it is to either be canceled or transferred with it. There is a provision, I believe, in the temporary that if it would be injurious to transfer the supplemental, then the supplemental can remain where it is without being exercised.
But if it was exercised, you would have the authority to cancel the permit.
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, we would not have a right to cancel the water right just because it was being exercised. We would have the right to stop the use.
Thank you.
Representative.
In the Adair 2 decision, which was related to the Klamath Basin, in 1983, a decision which has not been overturned, the Ninth Circuit Court stated, quote, the United States can point to no other case law, statutory text, or legislative history that specifically requires groundwater to be adjudicated as part of the comprehensive adjudication of a river system. Nevertheless, the Oregon Water Resources Department took direct regulatory action in 2014 to shut down more than 200 irrigation wells subject to tribal calls for water to protect their administratively determined rights to in-stream water. So I was wondering, under what statutory authority is the Oregon Water Resources Department regulating the use of irrigation wells subject to the Klamath River surface water adjudication?
Chair Edwards, Representative Whitsitt, we have, and I believe Senator Whitsitt has this, a letter from the Oregon Department of Justice that speaks to the authority that the Water Resources Department has to regulate groundwater in order to protect surface water. And rather than trying to repeat that letter, we'd be happy to furnish you with a copy of the letter, which I think goes into the legal authority that the department has to regulate in favor of surface water when groundwater is determined to be interfering with surface water rights.
Yep. That would be in contradiction to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we have not had the opportunity so far to basically have these rights adjudicated formally by the judicial branch, one of the three branches of our government. This is the governor's branch, the administrative branch, making this decision, which goes directly against the quote that I just read you from the Adair decision that states that there is no other case law in the United States that says you can adjudicate or are required to adjudicate surface water to the groundwater with surface water. So I'm not understanding where your right comes from.
Chair Edwards, Representative Hildreth Whitsitt, I'm having trouble understanding your question also. So as to the general authority for the department to regulate groundwater in order to protect surface water, there's no difference between a surface water right that has been adjudicated or a surface water right that is based on a state permit process. It doesn't matter whether it's been determined one way or the other. Those are both valid bases for surface water rights. And once they are established, the department is not only authorized, but is required to regulate to protect those senior rights.
Other questions?
Yeah, I've got one thing to anybody that wants to answer this one. I've been told that reps of the department have previously argued any change in the modification of ORS Chapter 539 may jeopardize Oregon's standing under the Ninth Circuit Court decision. So will creating a temporary place of use like this is doing in in-stream transfers of rights determined under the FFOD prior to the court decree of water rights create the opportunity for the federal government or anyone else to attempt to take over education by claiming that the process is not sufficiently judicial under the provisions of USA versus Oregon? So what, your own department has made that comment before. So can you answer that one?
Yes, absolutely. Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, the concern about losing control of the Klamath adjudication is something that has been present in a concern of the state for the last 20 years, and with good reason, because the federal government has twice, correct, taken us to federal court arguing that the state process for adjudicating water rights is not sufficiently comprehensive. to meet the requirements of federal law under something called the McCarran Amendment. The state has successfully fought off both of those attempts by the federal government to pull the adjudication into federal court. And as part of the negotiations over both the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement and the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement, there are provisions in the agreement that under which the federal government will agree that nothing that is contemplated in the agreements gives the federal government a basis for going back into court and arguing that somehow we've violated the McCarran Amendment. So we've anticipated those concerns, and they are addressed in both agreements.
Okay. I just have another question.
Yeah.
So temporary transfers. You mentioned you'd like it to be extended, but I think aren't temporary transfers limited to a five-year period, or you lose your water right? So I don't know how you would extend that and make it a 10-year thing. I don't know if that's – go ahead. Is that true?
Chair Edwards and Senator Thompson, I'll take a first crack at that, and then if Mr. Addington wants to provide more information, he can. You are correct that temporary transfers are statutorily limited to a five-year – and in-stream leases to a five-year period. By extending this authorization to 10 years instead of 5 years, it would allow for renewal of leases after the initial 5 years period that we're talking about in this bill. We're not talking about changing the lease period beyond 5 years. You would have to come back and renew the lease.
And then, okay.
Wait, hold on a second. Nothing to add?
No.
Okay.
I was just worried about that. So temporary transfer. So are you going to use really have to do with place of use or point of diversion. So you're not taking water like out of irrigation and using it for some other use, because you can't do that with a temporary transfer, correct? Or S-540, 523?
Yeah. Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, that's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of the committee?
No.
Just
one clarification.
Go ahead.
So it's my understanding in reading the -2 amendment that authorizes both place of use under ORS Chapter 540 and in-stream change of use under 537. Is that correct?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, both bills provide the same opportunity to do an in-stream transfer, which is mirrored or is under Chapter 540, and both bills include the ability to do an in-stream lease, which is included in Chapter 537.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, they will do.
No. Thank you, all four of you, for being here explaining what the bills do. I can't imagine that there is a more controversial or litigious area of natural resource law or area of the Pacific Northwest, frankly, that area of the law is playing out. So thank you for being here. Respect everybody's desire to get things on the record and to ask tough and probing questions, and appreciate your folks' willingness to answer those questions. So don't go too far, because by the end of the committee, we might need to hear from you again. So before I call up the next panel, and I will, I'll let you know who's going to be up next. We're going to run our two quick work sessions on our other bills, but I'll let you guys. If you could hold on for just a second, I'd appreciate that, Senator.
Really?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So the next panel. Commissioner Malams and Dennis Lentheim, Richard Marshall, and Mark Baird. You guys will be up next, but so just so you can be getting ready. But before that, we're just going to leave this. We don't have to. We can just leave it open.
Okay.
So, and I will, over the top of it, I will open up a work session on Senate Bill 20.
Chair Edwards, I move that Senate Bill 20 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson recommends that Senate Bill 20 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on this.
Yeah.
This is about energy standards.
And it's going where?
This is going to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
I think that should be part of the, because right here where it just says it's recommending passage, not saying where it's going.
Could you clarify that, your motion?
Yeah.
No, that's true. I mean, we've sent a bunch of Ways and Means.
I'm following the script, but we're gonna send Senate Bill 20 to Kansas City. I move that Senate Bill 20 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation to the floor.
Okay, so Senator Olson has moved to the floor for the due pass recommendation, Senate Bill 20. Some discussion on the bill, both Senator Olson and Denbro, you guys worked on this a little bit in a work group.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. So Senator Olson and I made a good faith effort to try to amend the bill to allow in the future when there are updates that are really just technical fixes or technical updates, they could be done through the rulemaking process rather than every time an appliance standard needs to be updated. We have to bring it before us and go through the whole process, et cetera. So we convened a work group, widely a diverse work group, and what we learned was that we're not there, and we would hope that perhaps we can get there by the time this finishes its life in the House, and if not, we'll come back to it in the interim.
Okay.
Does that seem fair, Senator?
Other questions? Other discussion? Any other discussion? Okay. Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Olson, would you want to carry this? Okay. And Senator Olson will carry. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 20, and we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 248.
Chair Edwards, I move that Senate Bill 248 be reported out of the committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 248 be reported out of the committee to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Colleagues, you'll recall that this is the bill that authorizes the Department of Forestry to conduct certain activities around timber sales, such as instead of selling their logs, just the whole, camp run, just the whole sale in one, they could market, by grade and things like that. And it's believed that they could realize a little higher return doing such. So
run it like a business.
Run it like a business. Are there any discussion? Okay, seeing no discussion, are there any objections? Seeing no objections, the bill passes or so ordered. And Senator Olson, would you like to carry it? Okay, Senator Olson will carry this bill as well. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 248. And that's it for our work sessions. So gentlemen who I called previously, we're resuming public testimony on Senate Bill 206 and 264. I believe that I had called Commissioner Malams and Dennis Linthium and Richard Marshall and Mark Baird. And we will, we've got 40 some people. No, 20 some people, excuse me, miscounted. 20 some people. So if we could keep everybody's testimony to a couple of minutes, we allowed more time for, and then we'll have time for back and forth from the committee. We wanted to give the people explaining the bill a little bit more time than time for back and forth. But certainly if we could try to keep the testimony concise, I say that to all the upcoming panels, and then there'll be time for question and answer, of course, from committee members as well. So, Commissioner?
Yes, Chair Edwards and committee members and Senator Whitsitt and Representative Whitsitt, thank you for having us here today to discuss this very important topic. I brought with me, I think you have copies of quite a few letters of other people that could not be here today. I provided extra copies that were delivered earlier. So I hope you got those.
For the record, your name?
Commissioner Tom Malams.
Thank you.
Sometimes I forget who I am, too. The bottom line in these bills we have before us, they are related to the water settlement agreements. I don't care what people say, they are not part of them. They are integral parts and pieces of them. It's kind of like trying to say you're maybe partially pregnant. It does not work. These things have to happen for those to go forward. They are a very definite aspect of them. And again, the bottom line is the citizens of Klamath County do not want these to go forward because they have time and time again voted against the Damuel, KBRA, these agreements. I will reference the elections in 2010, 2012, and 2014. The behind-the-scenes verbiage in the Klamath Basin is if you're running for office and you want to win, you better be against dam removal, KBRA. That's just the realities of it. The citizens still do not want this to happen. There have been a few groups here lately, very recently, that have signed on to this. Some of them are here today, are good friends of mine. Been friends for many, many, many years. And it's very disheartening to see them sitting in this gallery today supporting this direction. It's a travesty. It's a divide and conquer, plain and simple. I don't blame them. They have their right to their opinion. But I've been very vocal about this. This is paramount to legalized extortion, blackmail. They have a loaded gun to their head. They were forced to make a business decision to sign on to something that is horrible. The citizens do not want it. The irrigators themselves that even sign on to it do not want it. They feel they have no option. And that's a terrible position to be in that our federal and state government has put upon the Klamath Basin. Do we need a settlement? Absolutely. This just doesn't fit the bill. This does not accomplish that. This devalues everything. And the 206 and 264, which we're talking about today, has some very deep ramifications for the project irrigators that Senator Whitsitt alluded to. It's very interesting that I think it was Tom Paul just didn't really want to say a yes or no answer to some of those questions. I think we should have those definite yes or no answers on some of these issues because it will affect Klamath Falls, the city of Klamath Falls. They had the water turned off in 2014. Businesses in Klamath Falls did, Geldwin, Running Y Ranch, Harbor Links Golf Course. They shut off a number of wells that they're exercising their what they call their statutory right to regulate ground and surface water at the same time, which, by the way, is a requirement of these agreements, is to have language passed by the Oregon Water Resource Commission. They call it consistent with the language in the Upper Basin agreements. So they tie surface and groundwater together in these agreements, which we're all going to have to try to live with. It's not livable. It's plain and simple, it's not livable. And I agree, these amendments here we're talking about today are an attempt to validate these agreements, and codify them, if you will. I think that's a very big travesty again as well. They haven't been ratified by Congress. I don't believe they ever will be. We're spinning our wheels here. We need a settlement. We absolutely need a settlement. 265 was pulled. I realize that's been pulled, but I want to address it for just a second here because it will come back in some form.
You could keep your remarks brief about it since
we
don't actually have a public hearing open about the bonding bill.
Yes.
265, and we've got a lot of people here that want to testify.
Yes, I understand.
You can speculate that that'll be back. I don't know if it will be or not. I don't have it on the agenda for this committee, this legislative session. So
correct.
If you could please be brief.
Yes, very brief. It allows $3.4 million toward economic offsets. The reality is Klamath County will, and this is a one-time deal spread over 10 years, the reality is Klamath County will lose $1 million worth of tax revenue per year on a permanent basis. That is a slap in the face for Klamath County. So I appreciate your willingness to give me a little bit of leeway there, but it will come back as part of the agreements. It has to happen. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Edwards and committee members. A special thank you to Representative Whitsitt and Senator Whitsitt for being here. My name is Dennis Linthicum. For the record, I am a Klamath Basin citizen. I'm a taxpayer, an irrigator, and a rancher, and I'm a former Klamath County Commissioner. I was a Klamath County Commissioner when we determined that Klamath County did not want to be an active participant in the KBRA and KHSA agreements. At that time, there was, as Commissioner Malams described, there was enormous backlash to individuals who were for dam removal for no identifiable reason. Those dams are 60 miles downriver from Klamath County, the farthest one 60 miles away, the farthest one 2,500 feet lower in elevation than the Klamath Basin. So these actually have no agricultural significance to the basin. What is happening is actually a little bit of arm wrestling with the partial adjudication and the water rights that is been awarded to tribal interests, and that water right is now one of the big swapping issues between those who want to keep their businesses and farms alive. The Oregon Water Resources Department is suggesting that what they really need are better tools to manage the water usage. I suggest that after federal government, Congress and Senate come up with legislation that will allocate $1 billion for dam removal and potentially $1 billion more for restoration after the toxic sediment washes downstream, that the federal government will have strings attached. I would suggest that the strings attached will nullify the McCarran Amendment concept that we heard Mr. Whitman testify to with regard to the ability of the federal government to usurp Oregon's right to manage this water resource. I think this is a terrible weakness that cannot be overlooked. Both of these agreements, 206 and 264, specifically mention the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. The Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement is tied directly to the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement, and that is the dam removal piece. Additionally, I'd like to say that the National Hydropower Assessment Program, Asset Assessment Program at the federal level, has identified 4.3 gigawatts of potential hydropower in the state of Oregon. Oregon could pursue renewable energy resources through utilizing hydropower more effectively. And here we've got on the tablet a reasonable, certainly they're old structures, and certainly they could be upgraded. But nevertheless, the idea of blowing those to smithereens and having that debris wash downstream, with a waiver from the Clean Water Act seems like a travesty to the citizens of Oregon. I just wanted to bring those items to the table. It is important that if you're looking for tools to assess how to better utilize water, price discovery, the free market economy, supply demand, reservoir storage, so that when we're missing snowpack, we can still store rainfall as it's running downstream towards the Pacific, is the best way to go. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Chairman Edwards and members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt. Oh,
Mike.
Shall I start over, or did some of that get through?
No, that's okay. Okay. And you don't need it too very close. They're pretty sensitive, and if you get too close, it'll blare. But
my name is Richard Marshall. I'm president of Siskiyou Water Users in Siskiyou County. I live in Scott Valley. I'm a rancher there. And I came here because we have a very big concern in Siskiyou County. The decisions you make in this area regarding KBRA, regarding the issues of water in the upper Klamath, are impactive of Siskiyou County, which the majority of the Klamath River resides within, and which most of the dams do as well. The solution for upper Klamath irrigators is not tearing the dams down, despite the issues that have been raised in that regard. Those are only political issues, but they're also ecological issues, issues which impact the entire Klamath ecosystem. Killing fish with removing of the dams and letting the toxic debris flow down the river is insanity, really. And it's something that if you consider yourselves to be environmentalists, you need to take a hard look at what's happening below the dams, not just above the dams, because no more water will be created by taking the dams out. The problem on the upper irrigation system is to provide a way to trap excess water during the heavy rain situations that we have, like ones we have just been through, and preserve that water to be used for irrigation purposes and to put back into the river system. It's not to take the dams out and now no longer have the ability to control the water, either in a flood situation, and the dams, as you may recall, create recreation opportunities as well as opportunities for people to enjoy that area and firefighting capability that the dams provide as well. So from our perspective, one of the issues that we have is the way in which the DOI in particular camouflaged its interests in trying to make the coho salmon the stalking horse of this issue. It's not a stalking horse in reality. It's only in figment of their imagination. Coho salmon range all the way from north of San Francisco Bay up to the Bering Straits and around to the Sea of Japan. They're not in short number. And this year, more than ever before, they've been increasing in numbers. Why? Because the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, which the DOI refuses to take a look at, is what really impacts the supply of coho salmon and salmon in general. The cold and hot water stream that you know of is flowing up and down the Pacific coast is what's referred to as Pacific Decadal Oscillation. It's a cyclical situation. The food and the fish enjoy cold water, as you probably already know, and that's what they swim in and enjoy in that process. I'd like to also add in conclusion that here we are in a situation, we talked about drought earlier, the people who were before you talked about it, and we haven't done very good planning for drought situations, have we? But years ago, when the Klamath Compact came into being originally, there were plans to put other dams in the upper elevation areas to trap water and provide water throughout the year. This would be beneficial to both fish. If you want to provide for the fish, this would be one way to do it, but it would also provide for the ranchers and farmers, would keep the dams in place, which there is no good reason for taking the dams out. The fish never have been shown historically to be up past the Moonshine Falls area. And so I'd like to conclude by saying that what we really need to do is take a different look at this entire set of problems. Instead of taking the dams out, we need to come up with a reserve water system in the upper basin and in other areas to provide water. Thank you.
I'd like to clarify, as chair of the committee, that this bill, and I know other people have different perspectives, this bill does not remove dams. Okay, so yeah. We've spent a lot of time talking about whether or not dams ought to be removed, and I understand that some folks feel like dams shouldn't be removed. This bill doesn't remove dams, in case people are watching that aren't familiar with the background of this issue. I understand why you guys have strong feelings about dam removal, but I am interested particularly, and I think the committee needs to hear why the provisions in 206 and 264 are good or are not good for the citizens of your district and, you know, Oregonians. So I just wanted to clarify that. So
Chairman Edwards,
and we do need to keep testimony to 3 minutes. Otherwise, we're not going to have time to get through everybody.
Chairman Edwards, Senators, Representative, thank you for allowing us to speak. My friend and I drove about 350 miles one way to get here, and we'll drive 350 miles back. The reason we're here is because we border the Klamath Basin, but we have no representation. Mark Baird. I'm a rancher in Siskiyou County. I'm also a deputy sheriff in Siskiyou County and a small business owner as well. The reason we're here is because we have no representation in this process at all. We have no representation in the process in California either, because a group of people, quote, called the stakeholders, have taken over the process and deprived 8 of 9 counties impacted by these agreements, and none of the people, citizens, voters, taxpayers, and property owners in those counties have any representation. I personally have seen the decline of the human environment as a result of these agreements, and it will further decline as a result of this bill that you propose today. And those environments are increases in property crime, spousal abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, just plain despair, suicides, because people affected by these agreements and potentially this bill that you propose today are seeing the loss of their livelihood without due process. We have a Klamath Basin Agreement in place. It's called the KBC. It's been in place since 1959. It worked. It still works. And your problem today seems like it's priority of beneficial use. In the state of California, under Water Code, our beneficial uses are very well documented. Number one is domestic. Number two is agriculture. There is no beneficial use dedicated to, quote, in-stream flow. And unless you can color the water different colors so that you can quantify whose flow is being used for what, you can't possibly regulate water based on in-stream flow where some people get it and some people don't. Typically, the judiciary branch of the United States government, and this is also typified in the United States versus Blackfeet, where the Blackfoot tribe decried that they're a sovereign nation and therefore they have rights to certain things that other citizens of the United States do not have. And what the United States government found in that case, in which they prevailed, was that Indian tribes are sovereign nations only to the degree the United States government allows it. It is within your purview to prioritize beneficial use so that domestic users in cities and urban areas have priority. Agricultural interests have secondary authority, and Indian tribes are adjudicated use based on the amount of traditional uses that they have and need for their livelihood and their culture. That's the way to address this issue, not by throwing nine counties filled with good and decent people under the bus. And yes, this has nothing to do with dam removal, but it is very much tied to KBRA, KHSA, in which the bulk of the people have no say, no representation, and in the end we'll lose because of these agreements. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for the panelists? No questions? Okay. Thank you each for being here. I know you did drive a long way, and I respect the strong feelings on this, and everybody wants to talk for probably each of you could probably go on for hours about this. We've got 55 minutes left and 20 some people yet to talk, so we need to move on. So thank you each for being here. Next,
can I submit this written document?
Thank you. Garrett Roseberry, Don Gentry, Brian Baumgartner, and Becky Hyde. And on deck, we will have on deck are Liz Bowen, Andrea Carson, Brandon Chris, and Diane Linthium. Yeah. Go ahead, any of you, whoever's ready to start.
Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, committee members, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt, thank you for the opportunity to comment in support of Senate Bill 206 and 264. My name is Don Gentry. I'm chairman of the Klamath Tribes, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Klamath Tribes in support of these agreements. The Klamath Tribes, along with our partners to the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement and the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, we've been working hard to implement the agreements along with the State of Oregon. And we believe that the provisions that are provided in these bills are essential tools that enable us to move forward and manage water in a way that's beneficial to provide for the future and the stability of our communities, our ag community, and actually our tribal community and the fisheries that we depend upon. So the provisions in the bill are in fact tools that enable us to achieve benchmarks that have been negotiated and agreed to in terms of and that would provide the water balance that's necessary to provide for sustainability of the agricultural community and enabled us to move forward with these agreements. So I'd also like to point out, I agree with the point that was made by Greg Addington for the Klamath Water Users Association, that we're concerned also about the sunset of the legislation. We have talked about it and think that it would be helpful to consider extending that for another 10 years. It's important that, you know, in order to move forward with the agreements into the future, that this be considered. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for being concise.
Chair Edwards, committee, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt. My name is Garrett Roseberry, and I was asked to come and speak to you on behalf of the Sprague River Water Resource Foundation. The Sprague River Water Resource Foundation has been involved in the Klamath issues for over 20 years. We were part of the long and painful litigation process of the adjudication, and we were ground zero for the 2013 water shutoff. But we were fortunate to be asked to be part of creating the comprehensive settlement for the Upper Basin. What does Senate Bill 264 mean for an Upper Basin irrigator, and why does the state of Oregon need to participate in it? Stated very simple, the state of Oregon needs to have a say in the implementation and future directions of the Upper Basin Agreement. Secondly, the state needs to be on the Joint Management Entity Board to create balance in our diversified groups. And third, the state of Oregon and Oregon Water Resource can assist in navigating complex water issues and educating our members on the long-term goals that may be achieved through water leasing, water transfers, water retirement, and restoration activities. Short-term, long-term technical support so we can make informed decisions. Allows the state to work to resolve claims issues while at the same time assisting moving this agreement forward in a positive direction. Thank you for the time of letting me speak.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt. My name is Brian Bumgartner, and I reside 3139 Merriman Road, Medford, Oregon. I am the president of Rogue River Valley Irrigation District. In addition to serving on this board as a member, I am also a water patron of Rogue River Valley Irrigation District and Medford Irrigation Districts. There's a one-page letter with the letterhead of the three irrigation districts before you submitted. I am pleased to come before you today to offer support for 206-2 amendments of that Senate bill. I am here representing the landowners in the Rogue River Valley Irrigation District, Medford Irrigation District, and Talent Irrigation Districts, otherwise known as the Rogue Valley Districts. Together, the Rogue Valley Districts supply water to over 35,000 irrigated acres, as well as to industrial and municipal users stretching from Ashland to Central Point. A little background on the district use of Klamath Basin water. Since the late 1800s, to meet these significant water needs, the Rogue Valley Districts have depended on access to water stored in the high areas of the Klamath Basin. That water is stored in Four Mile Reservoir and then conveyed to the Rogue Basin via Transbasin Canal. Upon delivery to the Rogue Basin, the water is used to supply irrigation, municipal, and industrial water uses within our basin. It also helps provide critical stream flow for threatened coho, salmon, and other aquatic species. Our interest in Senate Bill 206-2 with those amendments is based on this century-old tie that between the two basins and the potential impact the bill could have on future use of our Klamath Basin water rights. We would support the bill with the amendments as such. With that background, I am here to offer our support of -2 amendments to Senate Bill 206. The initial version of the bill raised several concerns about whether it would be protective of our certificated Klamath Basin water rights. However, after significant consultation with the Oregon Water Resources Department and discussions with the Klamath Project water users, we believe the department has developed a set of amendments that we can support this year. Critical to our support are the provisions in -2 amendments that will protect existing water rights against injury and enlargement. It is also important to note that our support is based on the fact that Senate Bill 206 authorizes temporary transfers in place of use or point of diversion in temporary in-stream leases, but it does not authorize a change in the character of use. In conclusion, water rights issues, as we know, are unpredictable and challenging today. We cannot know for certain how water rights will be administered in the Klamath Basin in the coming years. However, we believe it is important that our fellow irrigators in the Klamath Basin have as many tools in their bag as possible to manage water in a sensible and efficient manner. It is our hope that Senate Bill 206 will provide such a tool for them to use. For that reason, we offer our support for the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 206, and once again, appreciate your time and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Okay. Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, and members of the committee, my name is Becky Hyde, and I'm here today on behalf of the Upper Klamath Water Users Association, which was formed to help irrigators above Klamath Lake reach settlements that create more water power and regulatory security. We represent about 30,000 irrigated acres above Klamath Lake, and I also serve on the board of the newly formed Upper Klamath Landowner Improvement District, and I'm part of two family branches above Klamath Lake. We support Senate Bill 264-1 and Senate Bill 206-2, and thank you for spending time with us today on these issues. Other supporters are giving good testimony for why these bills are important. I simply want to reiterate the importance of our agricultural producers above Klamath Lake and below Klamath Lake having the tools necessary to transfer and lease water if they choose, similar to what happens in the rest of the state. Attached to my testimony that you can look at is a long list of irrigators, irrigation community in the Klamath Basin that support these agreements, both in the off-project community and the project community. The family farms and ranches that have had their water shut off are pretty darn serious about finding a solution and have spent, I think, 40 years opening their pocketbook to continue litigating things like the Adair decision. And those of us who are paying for that sort of stuff are done. We're ready to settle. Thanks.
Okay. Questions for the panelists? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Chair Andrews. Questions for the Chairman Gentry. Thank you for being here, Don. The local Klamath Herald and News had an article recently that indicated that the Klamath tribes and two other tribes downstream were contemplating and actually had initiated the process of withdrawing from the KBRA. So first, was that report correct? And secondly, if it was correct, what are your future plans?
Well, according to the provisions of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, if any party to the KBRA, if they're bargained for benefits, are at risk, which in our case happened to be the loss of the Mazama Forest, which provided an economic peace to the tribes. So because of that provision and legislation wasn't enacted before the end of last year, basically to protect our interests and provide for our options, the Klamath tribes and others filed for what's called a dispute initiation notice, not to actually get out of the agreements or get rid of the agreements, but rather to bring forth the legislation that's necessary to enact the agreements. So it's provisions within the KBRA. Our intentions aren't to get out of the agreements. Our intentions are fully to see that the agreements are implemented as they were planned to, and the legislation is enacted to do so.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that clarification.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions for this panel?
No.
Okay. Thank you each for being here. Next up, we have Liz Bowen, Andrea Carson, Brandon Chris, and Diane Lentium. And on deck, we'll have April Snell, and then Tom Peased, James Burney, Rex
Casalio
from Siskiyou County. Yeah. I think, yeah, those four will be next. So go ahead.
Liz Bowen. I'm from near Callahan, California, Siskiyou County. Thank you, Chairman Edwards and senators of the committee, and Senator Whitsitt and Representative Whitsitt. Siskiyou County and California does very much feel we are a part of Southern Oregon and that we do share a boundary. And more than that, we share a river. A huge river flows through all of Siskiyou County, the Klamath River. And yes, it on the surface to us, to many people, it looks like these two bills, 206 and 264, do not affect initially the KBRA or the KHSA agreements, but we believe that there is an underlying push, and it has become a huge push in the last month to try to get the KBRA accomplished. We realize there are legal water rights in the Upper Klamath Basin that are still being discussed and argued over. And on the surface, it looks like it may help farmers in the Upper Klamath Basin. We believe that is not true, and we believe that we in Siskiyou County will find a result of problems from things that happen in Klamath County. If the Klamath dams are to come out with the KBRA, which is not final, it should have totally dropped December 31st, 2014, because that was the end date. But it is continuing to snail along. But if those dams come out, it will greatly affect us in Siskiyou County. A mile of the Scott River flows through my property, and it will affect our Little Scott Valley and our irrigation. Our irrigation creates both from the groundwater and from the diversions from small creeks. We're talking about small area. It creates a huge area of green grass and fields. We have gobs of abundant wildlife. Talk about a wonderful enhancement that works for both farmers, landowners, and the wildlife. There are golden eagles, bald eagles, hawks that fly over my property all the time. And so if the KBRA is allowed to go forward, it will greatly affect us. And so we are concerned about 206 and 264 because we believe in the background there is a push against Klamath Dam removal. And I thank you very much for your time. I am in opposition of those, and I thank Senator Whitsitt and Representative Whitsitt for their support and their wisdom in realizing this is a regional problem, which includes California.
Thank you.
Diane Linthicum. I am a rancher and small business owner in the Beatty-Sprague River area of Klamath County. Thank you, Chairman Edwards and committee members, and it's always a pleasure to be with the Whitsitts. I am here just to express my concern about the SB 206 and 264, and I'll just be brief and say I am against both of these and against the Klamath Basin agreements, and in concert with these folks here.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
And I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. I misread it.
My name is Andrea Carson, and I am a resident of Scott Valley. I'd like to thank Senator Edwards and all the committee members for allowing me to speak. Basically, I agree with the other people from Northern California. I'm against 264 and 206 because I think it's a way of implementing the plan without taking the dams out. 80% of the citizens of Siskiyou County voted against the dam removals and have a lot of concerns about the Klamath agreements. The process is vital to our constitutional republic, and the dam removal agreements and these plans show a lack of respect for the people, and that's unacceptable because they weren't included in the decision-making process. Special interest groups had a voice, and the citizens did not. And basically, that is my main concern.
Thank you, Chair Edwards, committee member, Senator Representative Whitsitt. My name is Brandon Chris. I'm a county supervisor in Siskiyou County, California, which is a commissioner for in that county. My family farms and ranches in both Oregon and California. My great-grandfather sat for many years as a board member on the Klamath Irrigation District. I have the honor to be a county supervisor in Siskiyou County, California. I'm not here to tell you how to run the state of Oregon, but I am here to ask you not to advance actions that will negatively impact the constituents of my county. We are the ones that will be forced to live with the consequences of removal of the Klamath River hydropower dams. Some claim these agreements are about more than just dam removal, but back on June 19, 2008, Klamath County Legal Counsel, who is now a judge appointed by Governor Kulongoski, stated, quote, "The Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement is a dam removal agreement whose signers agree to support and advocate for dam removal. Why this point is obvious, I raise it because I have heard people express general support for the agreement, but not for dam removal. If you do not support dam removal, this is the wrong agreement to sign. I see no way around this basic point." Unquote. Siskiyou County has grave concerns about the release of nearly 20 million cubic yards of sediment behind the dams. The Department of Interior studies acknowledge that we will not know if restoration through dam removal is successful until possibly 2050. Meanwhile, with the dam still in, we are experiencing record runs of returning salmon on the Klamath River, which soundly challenges the argument that the existence of dams are harming salmon. Sorry. No. Oh, okay. You will hear claims that these dams provide no irrigation water benefit. This past summer, 20,000 acre feet was released from the lower dams instead of Klamath Lake in order to meet minimum flows for migrating salmon. The Bureau, U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, in an August 8, 2014 press release stated, quote, "This proposal is an opportunity to positively contribute to the health of federally listed fish species in Upper Klamath Lake and the Klamath River, supports tribal interests, and will prove beneficial to project irrigators for the 2014 water year during these critical drought conditions," unquote. This recognized benefit will be gone when the dams are gone. The Siskiyou County Grange, Siskiyou County Cattlemen's Association, Siskiyou County Cattlewomen's Associations oppose dam removal because they are pro-agriculture. The Shasta Indians, the indigenous tribe for where the dams are located, opposes dam removal. Our state legislators and our federal congressmen from my district oppose dam removal. 80% of Siskiyou County voters voted no to dam removal. My district voted overwhelmingly in opposition to dam removal, including 77% of the Two Lake Basin, which I have the honor to represent. As I said at the outset, I have no interest or desire to tell you how to run the state of Oregon. I'm asking that you don't make decisions where we in Siskiyou County must face the brunt of the negative consequences. And last year with the terrible fires, one of my communities was saved because of Copco Lake Dam, which they were able to dip into and save that community. So thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman Edwards. Thank you. Questions for the panel? Okay. Thank you. So who did I call? Let's see. I think I called April Snell, and then did I call Linda Long yet?
No.
Okay, Linda, why don't you come up? Linda, April, and then one of the people I called last time is not going to be able to come up, and that, so let's see, going down the list, Tom Pease and James Burney, and then if you two could come up, and then next up will be Rex and Casilio, Frank Hamrich, Brent Shane, and George Webb.
Thank you, Chair Edwards and the committee, Senator Whitsitt and Representative Whitsitt. Appreciate the opportunity to speak today. I'm Linda Long from representing the Modoc Point Irrigation District. I'm the chair of the district and the largest irrigator there. We have entered into the Upper Basin Comprehensive Plan Agreement, and I was on the negotiating team for over 2 years, or nearly 2 years now, and we felt it is a very good agreement for our area for in the Upper Basin. Since we had participated in the adjudication for over 20 years, and in 2013 we were called on our water rights when the adjudication direction came down. So we had no water in 2013, most of 2013 irrigation season. And this agreement was put together with the stakeholders in the Upper Basin and the tribes, the state, and the other agencies involved, including the Department of Interior. And there were a lot of checks and balances there, and a lot of heavy negotiations that went on, and we felt that it was a good agreement for the people of the Upper Basin to allow them the flexibility and stability to be able to irrigate to the best of their ability, barring the consequences of Mother Nature. I am supportive of Senate Bill 264. I think it does allow us the stability for willing landowners to participate in the set-asides that are offered in the agreement, and to remain whole in the outcome of the entire process. I also feel that the state should be involved. It offers some technical expertise for the processes of the agreements, and it gives some balance of the diversified groups that are involved. There's a lot of times that they've been helpful in having them at the table, and they do bring some expertise in that point. And then they also help with some of the education of water rights for some of the people in the groups. So I do support Senate Bill 264, and think it is important for you to pass, or for that to pass, for the stability of our Upper Basin. Thank you.
Thank you. Oregon Water Resources Congress.
Chair Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. I'm Lauren Smith. I'm the policy coordinator at Oregon Water Resources Congress, and April had to leave, so I'll be testifying on behalf of OWRC today. OWRC is a nonprofit association representing irrigation districts, water control districts, improvement districts, drainage districts, and other governmental entities delivering agricultural water supplies. The water stewards we represent operate complex water management systems, including water supply reservoirs, canals, pipelines, and hydropower production, and deliver roughly one-third of all irrigated water to all irrigated land in Oregon. OWRC has been a strong supporter of the Klamath Settlement Agreements and the related federal legislation, and views SB 206-2 as an essential ingredient to supporting the collaborative work that continues in the basin. SB 206-2 would provide districts and other irrigators in the Klamath Basin with the tools to manage their water rights, similar to other areas of the state, and has provisions that are essential to upholding the agreements in the basin. The ability to temporarily transfer or temporarily lease water rights is an essential provision of Oregon water law that's currently unavailable to irrigators in the Klamath Basin until the adjudication process is completely finalized. So we just urge you to support SB 206-2, which will provide the Klamath Basin irrigators with the flexibility to manage the scarce water resources they have. So thank you.
Thank you. And either gentleman on either end, and then I think we'll have one panel, one or two panels after that, and then we'll have Richard Whitman and Tom from the department come back up for a final round of questions from the committee. So go ahead, sir.
Chairman Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Whitsitt. My name is Tom Pease. I'm from Siskiyou County, as many of us are here. I'm not here to talk specifically about dam removal. I understand where that is. It's somewhere down the road. It's not necessarily this issue per se. However, it is an issue with the KBRA. The KBRA, I've adjudicated irrigated rights out of, well, not that it matters, Shackelford Creek, that is a tributary eventually to the Klamath River. We have been fighting for years and spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of threats about the coho salmon and the habitat along the Klamath River. I understand you. This has absolutely nothing to do with the dam removal. The only thing it has to do with the dam removal, in my opinion, is KBRA. KBRA, we have been involved, we collectively down in Siskiyou County, have been involved with this issue since it started. It's very fluid. If you go back through the KBRA, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, but the right hand doesn't like what the left hand's doing. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. That's my concern as a landowner and as an irrigator. We don't know where this is going. I'm from California and you're from Oregon, and we all live in this same world together, and I just want to be sure that when you provide an agreement that it works best for everybody involved, no more special interest, no more good for whatever's good for whoever's good. It needs to be the right decision to make, and just make the decision that's right for everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Senator Edwards, and especially Senator Winton, Representative Whitsitt. I follow your Facebook reports, and I appreciate them very much. My name is James Burney, and as a property and business owner residing on the Klamath River, I have been and will be severely and directly impacted as a result of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. Along with it, an ancillary Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement and the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement. The Comprehensive Agreement, all orchestrated and fabricated by the same benefiting handful of originating KBRA participants. Without authority to do so and in violation of required public process, the agreement with its secretly held predeterminations and conditions of the KBRA required to sit at the table unilaterally or illegally, usurped the balance of beneficial uses and administrative processes of the Klamath Basin Compact. Of the Klamath Basin Compact, the compact holds legal jurisdiction as previously signed by the legislature and governors of both California and Oregon, along with the Congress and the United States, affecting the unrepresented rights and resources of the public and private interest. That was also signed in 1959 by the President of the then United States. Already failed mandated assumptions have caused and will guarantee even greater future devastations and attrition to the majority of our region at the hands of a selected, self-appointed, and benefited KBRA governing few. Only through the sacrifice of literally thousands of hours and tens of thousands of dollars for my own well-being, I was eventually acknowledged, and I might add at this point, 23 verse letters to Secretary Salazar, both Oregon and California senators, as well as many other departments that were affected. I only received one response, and it was an error because it said I was for the taking of the dams out. With the KBRA review as significantly suffering under the terms of those agreements, even with such acknowledgement of suffering, the KBRA causation of those damage assumes no accountability or compensatory obligation to me or to the thousands of others suffering similar damage. but unable to pursue such acknowledgement of the impact, the intractable and unaccountable irresponsibility profiting special interest imposed KBRA agreement flies in the face of current studies and historic realities of our region. But in the forced imposition of myopic agreements, given hypothetical assumptions, the KBRA attacks that in spite, excuse me, of holistic integrity of both the environment and the regional communities. Regional, residential, regional acknowledgement, which includes us as well as Oregon, is the reason the vast majority of most affected voters voted against the regional dam removal, recently voted the Klamath County commissioners into office running entirely on a platform of opposition to the unaccountable, destructive premises of the KBRA. In short, boast of the KBRA science, in my humble opinion and that of many others, was predetermined science to meet the bill to take out the dams. I'm sorry to admit to the dams, but if those dams come out, my property goes under 6 foot of silt, 20,700,000 cubic yards. It was rewritten twice in the final EIS, EIR, and it now will do worse than that. It'll raise the river bottom by 6 feet. And environmentally, that's going to close every salmon steelhead spawning bed from my property at 188 miles from the ocean to the ocean itself. That silt will also close the mouth of the river, which occurs occasionally due to nature, with the results of the tide and the sand at the ocean. We've had two great years of salmon in the last 2 years, and I have held a planned project in abeyance since 2008 after spending $3.5 million on it. It will not be sustainable with the dams out. I thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for members of this panel? No. Thank you each for being here. Rex Casilio, I'm not sure, I can't quite read the writing. Frank Hamrich, Brent Shane, and George Webb. And on deck will be Joe Watkin, and then anybody else that wants to testify and did not sign up. It'll be your last chance.
I signed up.
Okay, well, you'll be up next then, okay? Go ahead.
Oh, my. Chairman Edwards, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, separate Representative Whitsitt, I'm happy to be here. I'll be even happier to be out of here. My name is Brent Shane.
Me too.
We live this every day.
Well, at least there's no teleprompter. Yeah. My name is Brent Shane. I'm a fourth-generation project farmer and owner of a century farm in the Klamath Project and a member of the Klamath Irrigation District Board of Directors. Though I'm not speaking for the board or the district, but as a private citizen. Very alarmed by Senate Bill 206, as it appears this will help change the use of the Klamath Project to a multi-use project and will add fish and wildlife to a 50% of use. In their current forms, both Senate Bill 206 and Senate Bill 264 will prove ineffective, especially since there are no state or federal authorizations presently in place. Although they have been represented as having been achieved through consensus, the agreements were actually negotiated and drafted behind closed doors and completely outside of any proper public process. Confidentiality agreements and transparency are mutually exclusive. This process involved the governor's office as well as the Oregon Department of Justice and the Water Resources Department, but in no way was the general public ever part of the discussions, and that is wrong. The state law under Oregon Revised Statutes Chapter 540 prohibits the use of supplemental water right on land from which primary water right has been transferred and requires Oregon Water Resources Department to cancel the supplemental water right in the event that the supplemental water right is used on that land. Will the temporary transfer cause you to not use a well under these circumstances? As a Klamath County voter, I feel very well represented by Senator Doug Whitsitt and State Representative Gail Whitsitt. I can only hope that in the near future I can begin to feel as well represented by the irrigation community leadership. I look at these agreements are more truly called a surrender arrangement. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. Go ahead.
All right. For the record, I'm Frank Hamrick. I'm a Klamath County, probably don't need that, a Klamath County irrigator. I have 310 acres I irrigate non-project. 263 acres are on project. Of that, there's 193 acres that are Gerber and 70 acres that are Clear Lake. I'll take exception to Richard Whitman's and Tom Paul's description that there's two groups in the Klamath. You know, they have the Upper Basin and the Klamath Project. Well, the Klamath Project doesn't always include the east side of the project because they have the Upper Klamath Lake with the main stem, and then we have Gerber and Clear Lake, which are two separate watersheds. I signed up on the sheet there as neutral. And anybody knows me, I'm usually not that neutral. But I have 1882 and 1900 adjudicated water rights in the Lost River Basin. Then I have 1905 inchoate rights from the Klamath Project, which were mapped in the Lost River Basin, and they kind of got kicked onto the sidelines when the Upper Klamath issues came into bear. Then I have 1942 surface water rights, 1974 and 1987 pending permits. My problem with this moving everything forward on this, I say I'm not going to say that I'm objecting to Senate Bills 206-2 or 264, but it seems like we're getting kicked to the back of the bus then. I mean, if they've had 110 years to get the Klamath Project adjudicated. 1905, they filed the rights. We wouldn't be here today if that would have got done, and then everybody Upper Basin would have known where they stood. The Klamath tribal rights, that's fine. Everybody knows where you're at. Nobody knows now. So now we're in the middle of this argument 110 years later, and they're expecting, well, instead of making it 5 years, making it 10 years because it's not going to get through court. Very well won't be. But I'm getting kicked to the back of the bus because I have these pending permits that are, 35, 40 years old that the Water Resources Department can't get done simply because of their lack of staffing, or I don't know why they can't get things done there. And I mean, and that's just where it's at. And so that's my objection to the bills until they get, as Greg Addington said, it's not fair for one group if one passes and the other doesn't. Well, it's not fair for the guys who have been sitting on the sideline for 100 years, too, and that's me.
Thank you for your testimony. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Rex Casalio. I'm one of four generations living in the same location directly below where dams now exist, before and after. KBRA is an illegal agreement conceived in secret affecting unrepresented public invested private rights and interests. It's based upon already failed theories proven inaccurate by current site-specific scientific studies, which studies have vindicated the documented and experienced history within the region opposed to the KBRA. Being based upon a failed premise, the KBRA and the intrinsically tied KHSA and UKBCA are unsustainable. Too many years of KBRA policy through memorandums of understanding have resulted in zero attributable increases to suckers or coho. As already seen with the loss of thousands, never mentioned families and futures under the KBRA intractable policies, the only way the objectives will be made is through further attrition of the majority. Unlike what you are being told, SB 206, 264, and prior 265 are about the bigger picture. They empower KBRA determinations of who will live and die. By approval, you mandate public resources and regulatory direction to support and endorse an agreement that is not even sanctioned as legislatively valid. It forces down the throats of the affected and unrepresented majority the consequences of KBRA policies to which Siskiyou County voted 80% against and to which Klamath County voted commissioners into office running on a platform of opposition to the KBRA. Please do not place those burdens upon us. We have regional alternatives and cost-effective solutions. Let the KBRA and its selective special interest policies expire. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
My name is George Webb. I'm an ex-BOR employee. I'm here on invite from many of these folks here. Senator Edwards, Chair, and other respected members of the committee here, I would like to just expound on the fact that what I saw in my agency, which was once the premier environmental agency as the Bureau of Reclamation for many, many years, get turned in to a special interest environmental boondoggle through bad science and usurping of many of the just the regular regulations and water adjudications and all of the things that were already in place. This is a huge power grab that I have seen before. I'm also called a whistleblower by many because I was released from my career because of what I saw happening in transition within our government agencies, bowing to what I call the God of the environment. So I'm here to back these guys. Everything that they say, I corroborate with and I've seen to one degree or another. Now, these two bills, as long as KRBA and other entities are pushing it, it is going to be a nightmare. And there are things that are going to come about, like when these two good reps over here ask a yes or no question. It's always a dead giveaway to me when somebody sits there and goes, you know, it's just all a big boondoggle cover-up where will this cause extra regulation for you, for a bureaucrat to come in and shut down water on the citizens? Yes or no? That's what the question is. These citizens, I know, have all experienced the diminishing of their adjudicated rights or their rights in one way or another through the last 40 years of our great country's transition from freedom to socialism. And we can see the parallels of this agenda embedded in this, and it's in the form of the four letters KRBA. They are one of the biggest culprits in this. So if that is true, and what I see happening with our local Indians being sucked into it, and even the farmers and ranchers in the Upper Klamath being sucked into it with, at pretty much gunpoint, like was already said, then there's something wrong with that. So that's all I'm really here to say, and I just thank you guys for listening.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for the panel? Nope. Thank you. Joe Watkin and the gentleman that raised his hand in the back. No, because he testified. He was for the.
I'm Larry Nicholson.
You are? Okay. I skipped over you because I thought you were part of another panel already, so I apologize.
That's okay.
I saw it and I said, oh no, that guy testified. So
yeah, Chair Edwards, there was.
Sorry about that.
There, Roger Nicholson was up here. He's a cousin. So
Yes. So, yeah. It was the name. So go ahead, sir.
Chairman Edwards, committee members, thank you. My name is Joe Watkins. I'm the manager of the Klamath Soil and Water Conservation District, and I'm here as a manager and a board member, and here representing the board of the Klamath Soil and Water Conservation District. The The Klamath Soil and Water Conservation District is an elected board of 7 members, a countywide elected board, and works on behalf of the citizens of Klamath County. The mission of the Klamath Soil and Water Conservation District is to promote the wise and productive use of natural resources. The official position of the Klamath Soil and Water Conservation District Board is that we do not support the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement until there is federal legislation and funding enacting it. The District Board believes that many bad decisions have been made regarding water regulation in our county, and that is the crux of the water problems that we are faced with. We are experiencing drought, but we are experiencing ongoing regulatory drought. Never will there be enough water under the current water regulation in the Klamath Basin. We have endangered species water requirements on Klamath Lake. And by the way, there is just a report came out from USGS, and there are higher water levels required in Klamath Lake since 2001, and the report, I quote from the report from USGS, between 2001 and 2011, the abundance of males in lakeshore spawning subpopulations decreased by 53% to 65%, and the abundance of females decreased from 36% to 48%, and this was at Lost River Suckers. Addressing the short-nosed suckers, which is another listed fish in the lake, the best-case scenario for short-nosed suckers based on capture, recapture, recruitment modeling indicates that abundance of males in the spawning population decreased by 71% and abundance of females decreased by 69% between 2001 and 2011. The worst-case scenario, which assumes no recruitment, seems more likely to and suggests an 86% decrease for males and an 81% decrease for females. I bring this up based on there was a lot of water designated in the lake to support sucker populations, and they are on the decline. So more water and water regulation does not necessarily promote a healthy watershed and promote the fisheries and the tribal interests. We have an overbearing water adjudication that has been done, and that is the main problem that we were dealing with here. The KBRA addressing it is a Band-Aid for it, and it takes agricultural land out of production, and the district board does not support taking agricultural land out of production. The two bills that you are considering here are calling for water transfers in stream, which will take land out of agricultural production. The estimates through the KBRA, which these bills would support, would be 30,000 acre feet in the upper basin designated in stream, which is it's hard to tell, but over 20%, probably closer to 25% of the agricultural land out of irrigated production in the project area. Through the KBRA, it's a reduced amount of water that is going to be available for agriculture. That water is currently being made up by land idling, which takes ground out of agricultural production, and groundwater pumping, which has an effect on our aquifers. All these efforts are funded by federal money, taxpayer money. In the future, we don't know whether that money will be available, but the bottom line is agriculture will be reduced to the KBRA by 25%, and I just distinguished people to understand that what we're talking about here is a reduction in agriculture in Klamath County, and these two bills help facilitate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir. Chairman Edwards, Vice Chair Olson, and members of the committee, thanks for having me. I was going to read all this that I had prepared, and I'm just going to turn it in as written testimony. Most of it just dealt with what I knew you'd hear today, all the negative implications of the KBRA and dam removal. So I'm not going to reiterate that. There's plenty
name
of
name for the record.
Oh, Larry Nicholson. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm an upper basin rancher and also have a business in Medford, Oregon, so on with this. I was part of this group that opposed this up to about 2 years ago. So at that point, I decided Governor the Oregon governor then, Senators Wyden and Merkley, and also Congressman Walden, had insisted that we go back to the table and figure out this upper basin dilemma we had and get a resolution so we could make progress. I broke away from the nose and decided to, you know, may work on this process, and ultimately we found the Upper Basin Agreement, which you've been hearing about here today. You've heard several times that it sounds like there's a lot of folks that are not in support of it, mainly the Klamath County Commissioner, who organizes a lot of folks to come here and talk about it. But after we got those agreements in place and last year, I went around with some other folks, and we talked to a lot of different organizations that asked us to come and discuss how all these agreements work together. And when we did that, additional endorsements that we got were from the Klamath County Farm Bureau, the Klamath County Cattlemen's Association, the Klamath County Chamber of Commerce endorsed us, also the City of Klamath Falls endorsed the agreements, and the Family Farm Alliance, and also the Oregon Farm Bureau and the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Most recently, we've got the Modoc County Farm Bureau, and currently working with the California Cattlemen's Association to endorse this as well. So there's a lot of folks out here that support this agreement. I'm going to include with my written testimony a fairly lengthy list of folks in the Klamath Basin that do support this, and they are plenty. So I'm here. I don't have a gun to my head. I do support both 206 and SB 264. I do so because we all have to, in business, we all have to make changes to our businesses in life, both legislative and legal changes come about, we have to adjust. And so here we are today. We're trying to adjust and make it work, and we have an opportunity to do that. We need to be flexible and continue to work towards these settlements and get this done. So I endorse both SB 264 and 206. Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. Questions for the panelists? Okay. I don't see any. We are basically out of time, but we want to give Richard Whitman and Tom
Paul.
Thank you, Tom Paul. I'm getting tired. Tom Paul.
Chair, I hate to leave on their responses, but I have a Judiciary Committee next door.
Thank you. Thank you both for being here. You've heard the testimony. I think members of the committee probably have some additional questions after hearing testimony, so thanks for coming back up. And Senator Olson.
In reviewing this, first off, once again, I'm disappointed that amendments come out late, you know, like after 5 o'clock on Friday for meetings on Monday. Notwithstanding that, tell me the difference between 206 and 264.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, the difference between the two bills is only with regard to an additional provision in Senate Bill 264, which authorizes the Oregon Water Resources Department to participate in something called the Joint Management Entity, which is the entity responsible for implementing the Upper Basin Agreement. Otherwise, with regard to temporary transfers and in-stream leases, the dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 206 and the dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 264 are exactly the same.
When you say able to participate, it says in the bill that you will be a joint management entity, which would be the landowner entity, Klamath Tribes, United States, and State of Oregon. It says the Water Resources Department may participate in activities, but the activities may include, but not limited to, providing assistance in the formation of an Oregon tax-exempt nonprofit corporation to function as a joint management entity, drafting and giving approval of the articles of incorporation and bylaws of the corporations, contracting with the corporation, participating as a voting member of the board of directors for the corporation, and participating as a member of a technical team. I would say that's more than just a little bit of participation. You're building the building, and you're moving into it. You're the leaseholder, and you get to say what's going on. I think that's a little bit more than what you just said.
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, that is what participating means in this instance, is a number of people testified to on 264. These provisions will allow the state to participate as an equal partner with the ranching community in the Upper Basin, the Klamath tribes, and the federal government. It also will allow the Oregon Water Resources Department to provide technical support to the joint management entity. One of the things we haven't talked about here, and rather this didn't turn into a referendum on the Upper Basin Agreement, it really doesn't need to, because the need for these bills exists whether or not those agreements go away. But with regard to the participation, the Water Resources Department is also engaged in stream gauging in the Upper Basin, which is a necessary part of making all this work.
Okay, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Chair Edwards. Like I said before, if you guys get into changing 539, there could be, and your department's already said, you could jeopardize some of Oregon's standard under the Ninth Circuit Court. Wouldn't it be possible to narrow the provisions of both of these measures and simply allow the movement of certain waters for a specified time, say at the end of December 2019? And I hear a lot of people don't trust the KBRA agreements, some of these agreements. Couldn't you just delete all the reference to those and thus limiting opposition to this? Wouldn't that be simpler?
Yeah, Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, we actually thought about whether there was a way to do that or not, but your question gives me the opportunity to try to make it clear for all the committee members and Senator Whitsitt and Representative Whitsitt what the references to the two agreements means for these two bills. As I said in my introductory testimony, the only purpose of referencing those agreements is to define in a point in time a specific geographic area. Those agreements could go away at the end of this year and no longer have force and effect, but because the definition of the area exists in those agreements, it will continue on in these bills. But the agreements themselves don't necessarily continue on. So we are simply trying to bring these tools to a specific geographic area without regard to the agreements. And the reference to the agreements is simply the best way of describing the geography that these tools will be available to. I hope that's clear.
So my first part of the question was just to simply allow the movement of water, certain waters, for a specified time. Couldn't you do that without getting into the ORS Chapter 539 and the problems that comes with that?
Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, Tom Paul again with Water Resources Department. Whether or not the agreements are in place, the need for the temporary transfer and lease provisions, the need is going to be there until such time as the circuit court issues a final decree. Mr. Hamrick was up and talked about his situation. He happens to be in the Lost River Drainage, which is an area that has been adjudicated. The decree has been issued there, so he has the ability today to do temporary transfers and leases. Those claims within the project and Upper Basin that were included in the final findings of fact and final order, we don't have a decree on those. They do not have the ability without this legislation to do temporary transfers, which is changing the place of use, not changing the type of use, but just changing where the water is being used, and then to do the in-stream leases, which leases do for short-term change the character. It moves from irrigation to in-stream. But in neither one of those instances is the originating water right canceled to accomplish that.
Just one last follow-up.
Yeah, so follow-up.
Instead of doing the KBRA thing and all that, that stuff, why couldn't you just define the acreage in the bill? You could do that, too.
Chair Edwards, Senator Thompson, again, the there's no easy way to describe the areas except by reference to the two agreements. Otherwise, we would have to go out and produce some form of independent description of the areas, and I'm not quite sure how we would do that in this case. So it's really just an ease of reference for describing particular geographic areas. As Mr. Paul just said, these tools are going to be needed even if the agreements go away. So there really is, other than the use of the geography, there's no link between the two.
Senator Denbrough, then Senator Whitsitt.
Yeah, so just to clarify for myself, so what impact will passing these bills have on the agreement? Will they at all change the state's commitment or lack to the agreement? I mean, we're talking about temporary transfers, right? These are not permanent transfers, they're temporary. And, you know, within the context of provisional, you know, water right grants pending final adjudication. I guess I'm not really sure how our passing these bills could leverage something larger than that.
Chair Edwards, Senator Denbrough, you know, ultimately, if the agreements go forward, then, and the adjudication is completed, then the agreements anticipate permanent in-stream transfers of water, and you heard testimony to that effect earlier. It's actually about 10% of the irrigated acreage in the upper basin that would is actually the maximum amount that can be dried up as a result of the upper basin agreement. Again, these bills provide a temporary tool, really irrespective of whether the agreements continue or not, for irrigators in the upper basin and within the project to be able to move their water both between irrigated lands or in stream, and really provides a legal mechanism for them to be paid if within the project it's determined that they have to curtail water. This provides a way for, again, mitigation of some of the impacts of drought. And then in the upper basin also, same response in terms of a tool for people to legally be able to move that water around.
Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Chair, Sir Edwards. Actually, I have three questions. The description of the area of the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement and the description of the area of the KBRA are found in those documents. So I don't know why those descriptions certainly couldn't be moved into these bills and stop reference to those particular agreements. In fact, you've already done that in your Division 6925 rule for the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement. You've taken the reference to the agreement out and added and actually put the description of the specific area that would be under it. So I don't see why you couldn't do that. The other thing, one of the people in testifying brought up the fact that the transfer of Bureau of Reclamation water to in-stream is a change of use. Bureau of Reclamation water, to my understanding, can only be used for irrigation purposes. So I'm not sure how that can happen. If you were to limit the dash 2 if you would accept the dash one amendments instead of the dash two amendments and not include in-stream transfers, which would serve to dewater the area anyway, if you just put the dash one amendment in there, you would eliminate that possibility. And then the third point has to do with the Senator Olson's line of questioning. You're creating a joint management entity. You're going to write their articles of incorporation, all the other parts of it, be a voting member of the board of directors, be on the science technical team, and you're also going to contract with that corporation that you're actually a board member on. So what is the nature of those contracts that you're going to do, and how could that possibly not be a conflict of interest?
Okay. Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, I'll try to take each one of those in turn, and I may ask Tom to help me out on a couple of these. But on the first one, again, why not have some reference to the geographic area that's independent of the agreements? In the agreements, the geographic area that is described in those agreements is actually described by reference to a map. And legislative council doesn't usually allow us to describe an area by reference to a map. They will allow it by sort of indirectly by reference to a legal document that exists. So that's the technical reason behind why we used the approach that we did. There's really nothing more to it than that. With regard to the second question about the authority of the Bureau to do in-stream leasing of its water rights, that's really a question of federal law for the Bureau to answer in terms of what authorities they or other components of the Klamath Irrigation Project, which include U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for portions of the project, as you know, might have, depending on exactly what they may want to transfer in stream. It's not really a question for the state. It's a question for the federal government as to what federal authorities the Bureau might have. As far as the state's concerned, you know, again, we're concerned about compliance with state water law, and that's what this legislation addresses. With regard to the joint management entity and the authorizations there, and specifically the question about authority to contract with the JME, clearly if the joint management entity were voting on an authorization to enter into a contract with the Water Resources Department, that is a decision that the Water Resources Department would abstain from voting on because it has a direct interest in that particular decision. I think, again, the main area where that would come up is if the Water Resources Department is providing technical services to the joint management entity, such as work on stream gauging or analysis of basin hydrology that sort of go above and beyond the department's normal work. But if they were to go in that direction, the Water Resources Department would not participate in any decision making on whether or not to award a contract to the department.
Just to follow up. Regarding the referencing a document such as the KBRA or the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement, in the construction of the original Senate Bill 264, you did that quite a lot. Whoever wrote it did quite a lot. And I shared that with a retired Supreme Court Chief Justice. The gentleman came clear out of his chair. He said he'd never seen that ever before in Oregon law. So I would submit that it would be much better to actually put the description in the bill, take out the reference to those other agreements that were actually It would reduce a great deal of angst. It would reduce a great deal of concern by a lot of people in this room and that aren't in this room, if you could do that. And finally, your answer on the transfer of the BOR water, just by eliminating the in-stream transfer part of it, you would eliminate all that conflict. I'll leave that. Leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you for.
Mr. Chair,
the question is Representative Whitsitt, and then back to Senator Olson, and then I hope after your line of questioning, and after your line of questioning, we can leave.
Important issue.
I would like to thank the committee for allowing the citizens and elected representatives in this room who have traveled 5 to 7 hours one direction to come talk to us. So we can hear, they could have flown to our nation's capital in less time than it's taken them to drive all the way up here one way. And I really appreciate that they have an opportunity to talk no matter what they have to say. It's really, really important. And when you hear that the citizens of the Klamath River Basin are of a one or like mind, I hope today you can see that they are not. And so we have had these agreements put to us and out for public consumption that we're all on board and everybody's in agreement. And you can see that we are not in agreement just across the board. I have a question for Mr. Whitman and Mr. Paul that is kind of a subjective thing, but do you believe that the delineated upper basin landowners would have conceded to be a part of the Upper Klamath Basin Comprehensive Agreement if the Oregon Water Resources Department had not made an administrative rule that essentially cut off their groundwater and their surface water? It's my understanding from everybody that I've talked to, there was not an agreement to come forward and be part of this except that the Water Resources Department unilaterally has threatened to shut off their groundwater and their surface water. And I just think that is the overarching thing that this entire room, it's the elephant in the room. And I just like to put that on the record. It's rhetorical, of course. You don't need to answer that. But in my opinion, that's what we're looking at. Are people from an area that's far away from Salem being dictated to by an administrative rule? Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Well, I'm just going to go back to what I brought up earlier on contracting with the corporation. It just bothers me a little bit that you would be so involved in setting up the corporation, having the technical expertise for the corporation, and then they hire you to give scientific data on to the group. It's just such a conflict of interest that you bought it, you own it, and then they ask you to provide information to you that you can provide any information you want, and that just, it just sticks in my craw. I'd rather see you guys hire OSU or somebody else to go out and do the scientific part of it rather than you do it yourself. That would be my input on that.
Was that a question or maybe
you can give me an answer.
I didn't know.
I understand. Don't you think that's a little bit beyond the pale?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, and I'd be happy to follow up with you individually and talk more about this. But the joint management entity is the Upper Basin Agreement goes forward, can decide for itself who to contract with for anything that it has to do. The only reason for putting the reference in there with regard to the department is to make sure that if for whatever reason they want to contract with a department, that the department can actually do that. But much of the technical work for the joint management entity is being done by private parties representing the ranching community, the tribes, and federal agencies. The department is by no means the even major contributor in terms of the technical work going on for that entity.
All right, thank you. By the way, Mr. Chair, I'd also like to thank everyone that drove so far to testify, especially those folks from California, because it appears that they're not getting represented as well as they should. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Thank you, committee members, for the thoughtful and insightful questions. Every single meeting or phone call or committee hearing I have about this, or I've been a part of on this issue, I learn more. So it's incredibly complex, and I'm pretty sure that I'd be making a better living had I gone to law school and studied water law. So on that note, we will close the hearing. Hearings on Senate Bill 206 and 264, and we are adjourned for the committee.